Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Jim, I don't know if you introduced her or she feels shy to be introduced, but Michelle brought a friend.
Yeah, sorry.
We usually like to embarrass people when you first meet.
I brought a friend. She's with me in Miyajima Praise Chapel. So she's Yuri.
Yuri, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Yuri. All right. It's so nice to sing in this house.
Yeah, isn't it?
You can hear everybody, the harmonies are big, you know. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you that you can give us this place. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And I think in the bulletin it's to 23 or
23.
Yeah, so that's my mistake. 23 was a little bit far. So, but thank you for printing all the way to 23. We're going to read up to verse 20. So from verse 12 to verse 20. I'll begin, I'll read to verse 14, and then please join me at verse 15. So this is the Lord of the Lord on the Sermon on the Mount. So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let's read together. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, last week we talked about the message of God as our Father. He loves us. He gives us every good gift that we need. Now, if you don't know God as your Father who can give you everything you need, you cannot do verse 12. Yeah, that's the natural flow. Jesus is saying the way that you can love your neighbor as yourself, the way that you can do to others as you want them to do unto you, is only if you have God giving you all the resources to love people as you would have them love you. Because the truth is, they're not going to love you and respect you and be kind to you and return the kindness that you give. Jesus' command is, do it anyway. Be patient anyway. Be kind anyway. Give anyway. Sacrifice anyway. But they don't give anything back. They never say thank you. They're so ungrateful. They're so rude. Yeah. That's right. But your Father gives you the resources of love, generosity. When you have a relationship with the Father, you have a fountain of living water. And that will overflow to your neighbor. That's what he's saying. And actually, verse 12 is the conclusion of the section that starts at verse 1. You remember verse 1, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, do not judge, or you will be judged. And the same way that you judge others, that's how you will be judged. And he talks about the plank in your eye, and the dogs and the pigs, and don't give to them your treasures and your sacred things. Right? And then he says, ask, seek, and knock. He's talking about you as a Christian living as a disciple in the kingdom of heaven. And this is how we think about the way God gives to us so that we can give to others. That's verse 12. The golden rule. Everybody knows it, but a few people understand the flow, the context of it. And now, Jesus is going to conclude his Sermon on the Mount. And he starts at verse 13. Yeah, he's going to give a contrast and comparison. Contrast is the conduit of clarity. To really understand everything he's saying from chapter 5 all the way to verse 12 of chapter 7, yeah, he's going to give his contrast. The first contrast is the two ways, the narrow and the broad way. The second contrast he's going to give are the false teachers, the true teachers. So, and then there's more after that, but we'll deal with those two first. Okay, so we read in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the road, leads to destruction, many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road, that leads to life. A few find it. Alright, so a couple of things. Living in Japan since 1999, a few times at work people come to me and they say, Habakon or Chris, will say, yeah, they said it in English and in Japanese, both. I've been reading my Bible at work, and someone will come to me, Habakon. You know, there's many ways up the mountain. There's many roads that lead to the top. This yo ne. And at that time, my Japanese was so poor, I couldn't give a good answer. I just said, ah, so yo ne. And I regret that answer. I really do. Because that person who asked me that felt justified. He felt, yeah, I don't have to believe in this Bible, this cross, this Christianity. And then another time, someone asked me in English, oh, Chris, come on. I mean, whether you're Protestant, Catholic, Buddhist, Hindu, the whole message of every religion is just to be a good person. That's all it is, right? To get to heaven, you just have to be a good person, not do more good than bad. And I just thought, oh boy, I'm not trying to have a discussion right now. I'm just trying to go to class. I don't know why you're asking me these questions right now. So I just had to say, we'll talk about it later. Yeah, so... Oh, I hear my voice. That's not a good... So if somebody asks you, or somebody tells you, Christians, you know, they're so narrow. Jesus is the only way. It's like a blind person touching the ear of an elephant and saying, God is like a leaf. Or a blind person touching the leg of an elephant, God is like a tree. Or a blind person touching the tail of an elephant. Oh, I feel a snake, right? It's all one thing. We're all blind. There's many ways to the top. What's Jesus' answer? Well, Jesus' answer says, actually, there's only two ways. And one way gets there, and the other way doesn't. That's it. That's what he's saying. And for someone to say, this is just my simple point, if someone says, you shouldn't make people become Christian. You shouldn't force or try to convert people to believe the Bible. You're being judgmental. You're saying your religion is superior. When they are saying that, they are saying their idea is superior. They're forcing their opinion on you. They're saying, you should never have an opinion. You should never force. They're forcing their opinion on you, right? They're forcing their belief, their faith, and no faith, on you. They're doing exactly what they're telling you not to do. And so what Jesus is saying here is saying, he's saying, no one is neutral. He's saying, there's some people who think, oh, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a Christian, I'm neutral. I'm just going to live a good life. Jesus is saying, no. A lot of people think that way. In fact, that's the broad way. Be careful. No one is neutral. Either you're going this way or you're going that way. And your life, your eternal life, depends on which way you're taking. So, the word narrow in verse 14, small and narrow, the word narrow especially, it means hard. It actually means so hard you're going to die. That's what it means. It's like picture climbing into a small pipe, okay? And the pipe is getting narrower and narrower, and it's going to crush you. That's what it is. Okay? And you see, it's almost like death. Now, it's very discouraging. Jesus is saying the way towards life is very hard, very difficult, very dark, a lot of suffering, right? Not many people go there. In Japan, here we are. We have the small house. We have the church. The church is about 100, 110, 120 people, members. It's not many. In terms of Protestant evangelical churches, in Hiroshima there are 50. And ours is one of the bigger ones. The average church here in Hiroshima, Protestant evangelical, is maybe 20, 30, 40. Yeah, the big ones are, you know, 70, 80, 100. Very small. So here in Japan, we're very few, right? So here's from Wikipedia, very accurate. Christianity in Japan is among the nation's minority religions in terms of individuals who state an explicit affiliation to faith. So even just religious people, even amongst the religious people, we're still the minority. How minority? How small? In 2022, there were 1.9 million Christians in Japan. That's a lot, 1.9 million. The population of Japan is 126 million. In the early years of the 21st century, between less than 1% and 1.5% of the population claimed Christian belief or affiliation. So, narrow way. Narrow gate. Few choose it. A Christian in Japan is part of the narrow way, the narrow gate. Today was a good Sunday. We had a baptism. A Japanese person entered the narrow way, went through the narrow gate. Now, how is this encouraging? Well, that's 1.9 million, that's just one more there. But what encourages me the most is not only this week, but last week, the person who was baptized was not just an infant who doesn't know any better. It wasn't a child who was like pressured or forced to do it by a parent or anybody. It was a person in their middle age. Grew up on the broad way. Grew up outside the family. Grew up as a Buddhist, like the one who was baptized last week. she when she told her testimony, she was talking about her heavy Buddhist upbringing. Jodo Shinshu, I think, a very big, popular Buddhist denomination. And they were very active as a Buddhist family. That one, God saved and brought into the family. And today, a man in his middle ages, right, 50, I think he said, in his 50s. I mean, I was baptized at age 12. I grew up raised by my grandparents, Christians. I grew up in the United States. Lots of churches, big churches. It was easy for me. But for someone in their middle ages, drawn by the beauty of the music of the church, that's how God does it. That's how God saves. He does it. Well, he does for some people. Some people, you know who you are. He has to hit you on the head, kick you out of the, you know, right? And that's how you're saved, right? But for the most people, he said, oh, look, I have something beautiful for you. I have something so wonderful for you. And it starts with the music, and then he joined the choir, and then he found himself coming to church, and people were loving him, welcoming him. He felt, oh, these are my people, right? There's only a few of them. There's less than 1%, or there's less than 2%, but they're my people. This is my gate. Yeah. So there's a few. Okay, so just one thing I want us to think about. You know, as you're a Christian, few people here in Japan, you have to think. Because this is not a Christian country, your values, your time, your treasure, it's going to be in conflict sometimes, okay? You have to think through how you're going to apply this. So I'll give you an example. I have a son who is an amazing athlete. He's really good at soccer. And his soccer team is asking him to practice more. They have practice every Sunday. Now, this son, my dream, my hope, he becomes a professional soccer player, gets a lot of money, pays off my mortgage, helps me retire early. I'll never have to worry about food or, you know, just let him become a pro. Not going to happen, probably, okay, very small chance, less than 1% probably. Anyways, he's very good at soccer. And so, His team says, can he practice on Sunday with us? So we had to have a conversation, me and him. You know we're Christians. And you know you have practice Wednesday, Saturday, sometimes Thursday with a special team, and then Sunday. But you know we're Christians, right? You know we're different, right? This week, I have another son. He has a tournament, soccer tournament, Saturday and Sunday. And so the question was, the Sunday he is going to have a game, it's the Shukufuku Shiki, the Kodomo Shukufuku Shiki. So next week, it's the Kodomo Shukufuku, blessing the children ceremony. It's when our church has a special service to bless the children, right? That's part of the life of our church. And so the question me and Nahomi had to answer was, if the coach says, no, he cannot play Saturday only, he has to come both Saturday and Sunday, what do we do? What's our value? What's more important to us? That our son is part of the life of the church, or our son is part of the life of his soccer team, right? And you have that question too, whether it's your work, your friends, your own in-laws or your own family, how is it that you are wisely lovingly following the narrow way. Now, sometimes they're going to say, oh, you're so self-righteous. Oh, you're judging us. Oh, look at you. You think you're so holy. Maybe you are. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you have to find a more wise way to say it. Maybe you need to compromise. Maybe you need to maneuver something. You need wisdom from the Father to make the wise decision. So, just something to think about as we're living life here, where there's very few Christians. Okay, no one is neutral, there's very few. The flip side, there's a lot of fake people. A lot of fake Christians. A lot of fake leaders. And Jesus says you need to watch out for them. He says, verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Okay, it's interesting. Jesus uses three animals in his sermon. Verse 6, he talks about don't give your pearls to the pigs. Don't give your treasures to the dogs. He's saying what? Some people are not ready to receive what you can give, right? So be careful. Be discerning. Be wise. There's pigs and there's dogs who don't want what you can give or don't care about what you want. So what do? Avoid. Don't go there. But then there's something more ferocious, something more dangerous. Pigs and dogs, yeah, just avoid them. Some of them are annoying. Some of them they'll trample you. But what you really need to be careful of are the wolves. The pigs and the dogs, they're outside. They're not part of the family. They're not part of the kingdom. You don't need to give them your treasures, your pearls. The wolves are inside. They're dangerous. Here's the wolf. They know the verses. They know the songs. Some of them, they'll lead the song. Some of them, they'll play the music. They know how to talk and give a testimony and saying, praise the Lord. They know how hallelujah means. They know the Old and the New Testament. The outside, they look and they sound like sheep. But Jesus is talking about their character, what's inside. They're ferocious, dangerous. They want to kill, eat, and destroy. So their words, their actions, their attitude is very Christian. Very Christian. Very religious. They can give a message. They can preach a sermon. Better than ChatGPT. Yeah. I typed in a message, how to preach the sermon through ChatGPT, and it was okay. Right? But there are wolves who know the difference between a good sermon and a bad sermon. And not only that, they can... Okay, so anyways, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I think the Lord is telling us to do. Just know they're there, okay? Their motivation is to destroy the church from the inside out. Okay, so how do you know who they are, right? Because you can't see the inside. Well, Jesus says you make a discernment, you judge based on the outside, the fruit, what you can see. By their fruit, you will recognize them. You don't pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. A good tree bears good fruit, bad tree bears bad fruit, right? I love this image. Jesus, you're so simple and plain, easy to understand. For all of us here, we're living in 2023. I know that all of us here love to download sermons, love to watch YouTube videos that teach the Bible, right? Right? Everybody has a favorite blog or a podcast that they listen to. It helps them. Now, here's my fear. I'm afraid to ask you, who are your favorite preachers? Okay, I'm afraid to ask you because I'm afraid to know if I look them up, I don't know if they might be a wolf. Okay? There was one a few years ago who told me the person that they like to download. Yeah. I think they posted on Facebook. This is when I'm still on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They posted on Facebook, and you know I love this person, so I looked up the ministry because they have this post on Facebook. It looks very, you know, spiritual Christian, and it has a little like their .com right on there on the bottom. So I typed it. I looked it up. I wanted to make sure this person I love is not eaten by a wolf. You can tell by their content. Okay, so let's translate fruit. You can tell by their fruit. The fruit is the content. So when you're on YouTube or iPhone or iTunes, whatever, you can tell by the fruit. So just a couple things that will help you discern, okay, between the good and the bad. Some teachers, they're all truth and no grace. Everything is a war. Everything is a battle. Everything is like Christians, we're on the defensive. They're attacking us. And we have to have the tactics and the weapons, and we have to go with the history and the logic and apologetics. No relationship, no grace. Right? So John chapter 1. We saw Jesus. The word, the Logos became flesh, dwelt among us. He was full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of both grace and truth. If a teacher that you like to listen to is just full of truth, and no grace, be careful. But then there's the other extreme. Some teachers, anything is, it's okay, everything's fine. You know, you do you, and we have good music, and we have a lot of inspiration in our message. We have things that will just help you wake up in the morning and start your day and get you through. Okay, is Jesus God? Is Jesus the only way? That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is God loves you, and God's going to give you everything you need to get through. Be careful! Might be a wolf. Is there a balance between that? Okay, another one. All doctrine, no love. All doctrine. When you listen to their sermon or their podcast, is it just Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse? That's good. Okay? Dates, numbers, and statistics, that's good. But you know what? Look up and see how much they're giving to the poor. That's all you need to do. If they're asking you to check out their merch store or you know, download an app for just a small amount, but you don't see them giving anything, be careful. A lot of doctrine. It's no love. Or the other side, it's all like, hey, let's build together. Let's network. Let's contact. Let's do this together. We're a family. Okay? Yeah, that's good, but there's no teaching. No one is saying, watch out for the wolves. No one is saying, watch out for the false prophets. Be careful. Are you seeing the balances here in their content? A couple more. This is my problem. I like to download and listen to people who are all philosophy, all apologetics, all reason. That's me. And yeah, if you think the right way, then you're the right kind of person. Right? It's all thought, no action. the other way. Now be careful. There's some preachers who just want you to do things. It's all works. How many chapters are you memorizing? How many Bible studies are you part of? How many times do you go to church? How much are you giving? Are you not sharing your faith to your family and your what's wrong with you? Are you not part of this program? Are you not, participating? Be careful. If it's all works and no contemplation, no meditation, no stillness, right? Be careful. Might be a wolf. It's my favorite one. All crown, no cross. You are the head, not the tail. God is for you, not against you. You will be the lender, not the borrower. You will have health and wealth and prosperity. Just send me some money. There's glory for you. If you just pick yourself up, comb your hair, wash your face, God will shine on you and give you everything you want. God is a good, good Father. But none of it comes at the cost. There's no suffering. There's no struggle. There's no pain. So, I'm almost done. We're pretty much done. All I had was this week. I'm sitting there in quiet, and I'm just thinking. I'm usually just complaining. When I'm praying, it's a lot of complaining. God, why this? Why her? Why him? Why now? It's a lot of that. And God was in the quietness saying, Chris, because I love you, consider it pure joy, my son, when you go through trials of many kinds, because they produce patience, perseverance, wisdom, love, right? It's my son. The cross is the way to the crown. The light is at the end of the darkness. This suffering I'm giving to you is... Now, okay, Job, when he's suffering, he didn't thank God for the suffering. Oh, thank you for sending the Sabaeans to steal all my crop. Thank you for the wind that killed all my children. He didn't say thank you for that. But Job, when he went through the suffering, he did the exact opposite of what Satan wanted. Instead of running away from God, he said, God, I need you now. I need an audience with you, God. Job responded exactly how a lover of God would respond. The suffering pushed him towards God and not away. What is the suffering doing for you? So, that's the message. If the preacher and the podcaster and the influencer is taking you to the cross, okay, maybe he's okay. Okay? That's all I want you to see. My favorite preacher all time, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He says, whenever I look at a scripture, whenever I start preaching, I go straight to the cross. The cross is where everything happens. The cross is all truth and all grace. The cross is all doctrine and all love. The cross is all about community and all about, it's the cross. Thank you for the cross. Here's a wolf. Okay? You can know them by their fruit. This is the leader of Hamas. His name is Ismail Haniyeh. He wants to struggle for the Palestinians. He wants to liberate the Arabs in Gaza. Right? Where is he? He's in Dubai. Where is he living? In a tent? at the Four Seasons Hotel. He takes all the people's money from Palestine, and he is sitting on $11 billion. Not only him, but all his other cronies. Right? So he says, I'm for the Palestinians. I'm for my people. I'm going to help the people fight for their freedom. Where is he? He's not in the tunnel. He's not in a home. He's not on the streets. He's going to five-star restaurants. That's a wolf. Ferocious. In sheep's clothing. Oh, Pastor Chris, are you for Israel? Are you saying Israel should be bombing? No, I'm not saying that. Okay? I'm not actually completely for Israel. Oh, then that means, are you for Palestine? Are you for the PLO? No, I'm for the people. I'm not for the terrorist organizations. Right? Hamas, PLO, right? Hezbollah. They don't care about the Palestinians. They care about killing Israelites. And the leaders don't care about struggle. They want luxury and comfort and pleasure. Beware of the wolves. This is outside. This is not Christianity. There are plenty of these in Christianity. So the people you're downloading and the people you're listening to, where are they living? Okay? Oh yeah, they got the big church, big ministry, the nicest clothes, beautiful sets and church. Okay, great. How much are they giving to the poor? Okay? Please be a Berean and look that up. That's how you avoid the wolves. We end not on the wolf, but on the great shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. How do you know a good shepherd? He gives it all up. The cross. The cross. We come to Christ, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for us. Yeah. I mean, he gave up everything. He's not staying at the five-star hotel. And when I say he gave up everything, what did he give up? Heaven? Heaven's nice. He gave up the most important relationship he ever has. His relationship with the Father. So I love my wife, Naomi. I love her with all my heart. I love my daughter, Narumi. My daughter, Narumi, is worth 10 sons. I will gladly lay down my life for her. That's how much I love her. But my love for Narumi is just a small, 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 small fraction of Jesus' relationship with his Father. My unity, my oneness with Naomi, my wife, is a small, 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 small taste of Jesus' unity with the Father. He gave it up. He let it all out. He cut it so that you and I could be connected to the Father. You and I could become one with the Father. That's not a wolf. That's a shepherd. That's the great shepherd. Talking about good trees, bearing good fruit. He let himself be hung on a tree. We are his fruit. We are his converts. We are his sheep. Hallelujah. Praise the great shepherd. Let's pray. So Lord Jesus Christ, you are our King. You are our shepherd. You are our Lord. You are the narrow and small gate. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves and we devote ourselves to you, even today, even this week. Teach us to walk in the narrow way. This is our prayer. In your name, amen.